and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now, Tobiath and Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." And I don't know if you know anything much about foxes, but with a fox walks or runs very nimble. It's almost to not even leave a footprint in the sand. Well, they were telling the Jews in Nehemiah here that if you build this wall again, even a fox that runs across the top of it will break it down. They were laughing at them. They were mocking them, as it says there in verse number 1. And that they're going to build a weak wall because they're of a weak people that has a weak God, is what they were telling them. Verse number 4, he says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the hand of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work." Amen. I don't know how much preaching I'm going to get to do today. Amen. But I got a few things that I want to explain here. I appreciate Brother Bill as he stood and taught such a wonderful Sunday school lesson. Amen. But we're going to see the reason why. Amen. I just love how God puts things together. Amen. When I heard Brother Bill begin to teach this morning, I said, "Oh, this is going to be good." Amen. But there's just a few things that we need to see here. In verse number 4, he says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised." Amen. Nehemiah seen here that he needed to call on God. Amen. He needed not only for his life, but for the people's life. Amen. He needed to call on God. And the wall was built because of not only that reason, but for one of the reasons that they called upon God. Amen. I tell you what, that no work can get done unless you call on God. No work will go done unless you call on God. But he says here also in verse number 6, he says, "For the people had a mind to work." Amen. I tell you what, one of the problems with our churches today is people don't want to work. Amen. The people, the Christian people, as Bill said, we use that term so loosely, and we do. Amen. There's a lot of people sitting in our churches today that's not saved. Amen. I mean, people that's been to church their whole life has never truly gave their heart to God. Amen. But I tell you what's wrong with one of the things in our churches today is people have lost the mind to work. Amen. Nehemiah's people, the Jews in that day, they had not lost the mind to work, amen. They knew that they needed to work. And the only way that wall was going to be built, amen, was for them to continue the work. The Bible says in verse number 7, "But it came to pass that the Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." Amen. I want us to picture in our mind today, this right here in Nehemiah's day was Satan and his demons. Amen. Say, "Well, preacher, you preach a lot about Satan." Amen. I tell you what, you don't go into war without knowing your enemy. Amen. There's not ever a war that's been against the United States that the United States did not know who they was going up against. Amen. And that's what we've got to do today. We've got to know who we're fighting against. And we're fighting against a spiritual wickedness in high places, amen. We need to know about them. But if we'll look at Nehemiah's day when the wall was to be built up, these people here was just as Satan is today. I couldn't help but to think of that beautiful song, "A Wall of Prayer." You know, that's what every church is missing today, a wall of prayer. I heard somebody say, and it's been this week, you know, "I don't ask everybody to pray for me." And I thought about, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And I got studying on that. Well, you know, I'll ask everybody to pray for me. Because those that are right with God, only God hears those prayers. Amen. Only God's going to hear those prayers. Those that are not right with God, God's not going to hear. Amen. So I don't care if you pray for me or not. Amen. God will hear those prayers of those true Christians, those people that are pleading my case for God. Amen. How about this church's wall? Has the devil tried to break? Well, let me say this first. How about your wall? Has the devil tried to break your wall down? Your wall of prayer? Does it seem like sometime this week something has happened just this week that's kept you from being close to God? The devil's just trying to hinder something, amen. I tell you what, last Thursday, Ginger shared a testimony with me how the devil just wanted to interfere with what we were trying to do through Elkin High School, amen. I sent her a letter that they were going to put in the grab bags as the kids came through, as the football players, and as the cheerleaders came through and got those little lunch bags. We were going to put a letter in it. It's just a simple letter. How the church loved them, how Jesus loved them, how they needed to trust and take Jesus Christ into their heart to be saved. She couldn't get it to print. The devil, what did he do? He interfered. And I said, well, that just goes to show you the five-second rule right there applies. Not to your food, amen. The five-second rule may apply to your food, but for your life, there is also a five-second rule, amen. If the devil comes at you and you know it, you got 5 seconds to retaliate with God's power, amen. To get on his side and start praying and asking God to rebuke Satan. Well, you see here, that's exactly what she done. And guess what? The letter printed. Everything was fine. We got the. It wasn't the letter. It was just a note to tell them that we love them. Amen. It's not what was on the letter. It was who the letter was from. Not from me and not from you, but from him. Amen. And I thank God for the opportunity to do that once again. But we see here in verse number 7, and the Satan and his demons, they were trying to as it says here in verse number 8, and conspired all of them together. The devil conspires today against you, amen. He's not conspiring for you. He's in a conspiracy against you, amen. And we got to know that conspiracy is going on. Listen to verse number 9. It says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Nehemiah said, I love this. Nevertheless, we, not just me, not just one or two of you, but we as a church, as a whole, have got to come together, call upon the name of the Lord before anybody's going to be saved, before any work's going to be done. Why is that? Because it's what God commissioned us to do. Not only just to sit on a pew, but to be a pew prayer, amen. And a prayer warrior on a pew. He said, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Now I want us to look right here in verse number 10. I want us to look right here, and this is where I'm going to preach from today. In verse number 10, he says, and Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. That's right here is what's wrong with our church today. It's because those that use the bear, the burdens, the burdens is being decayed, amen, in this life. I don't know. I just can't get away from burdens. I just can't get away from the burdens that we need to bear. Look through the Bible. Isaiah had burdens. Nehemiah had burdens. All these minor prophets, all these major prophets, they had burdens that God was putting upon their heart. And the problem with our church today is that our burdens and those that are bearing those burdens are falling by the wayside. They're getting to be less and less and less. And that's what's wrong with our church today. It's falling away. Those burdens and those that are carrying those burdens are decaying. They're falling away. But listen to what Nehemiah said. He says, and Judas said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. I'm going to tell you what was wrong with Job. It's the same thing as what's wrong with us today. Just as Nehemiah said here, we've got too much rubbish in the way. You know what rubbish is? Rubbish in that day was all the little stones that were laying amongst the big stones. It was all the stuff that was in their way as they tried to build the wall. It was all the weeds that were coming up, and it was all the twigs and the trees that were in the way since the last time the wall had been built. All the rubbish was in the way. Well, see, that's what's wrong with me today. That's what's wrong with you today, is the rubbish has gotten in the way of our prayer wall. From us building a wall with God, our rubbish in our life has gone away. In Job's life, his rubbish was in the way. And it wasn't until he saw that he needed God and what to do to repent and give him his life back again. That's what's wrong with this world today. But more so, that's what's wrong with our church today, is our rubbish is in the way. Our rubbish is in the way. When we come to church, you know, it seems like that the Bible says, two places in the Bible, it talks very specifically about us sharing one another's burdens. But you know, so many times we don't know what those burdens are. So many times we don't know what specific needs we have. Why is that? Are we that we don't want to share? Maybe. Are we private people that we don't want to share? Maybe. But why not? This right here is the biggest family that you have got. Even though the Call family is pretty big. Call family is rather large. I still consider this my closest family. Amen. Right now, with each and every one of you, something personal in my life, I would share with you if it was to help you. I might not be, what's the word I'm looking for? I might not want to. I might be humiliated of the things that I've done in my life, but I would share with you those humiliated things if it was to help your life, because I trust you, because you're my family. But in order for us to build the wall here at Mount Calvary Baptist Church, that prayer wall, we are going to have to bring back alive those burden bearers. Amen. I want to be your burden bearer. I know the Bible tells us that we can cast all of our care upon Him because He careth for us. But right now, I want you specifically to pray for a need that I have. Landon, Tanner, come here. I want you to pray for a specific need that I have. And I want you to write it down. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to hand one of them to everybody. If they want two, they can have two. I've got 60 more of them. Where they come from? I want you to help me pray for something. And you know, it wasn't until this week that God showed me, you can't handle this by yourself. Cast it upon your church and have them pray for you. And why aren't you doing that to me as your pastor? The one that tries to stay the closest to God as I can. Not the closest in the church, but as close as I can. I hope each and every one of you are a lot closer to God than I am. But I want you to write down something for me to help me. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to speak. If you have a burden upon your heart that needs to be shared, I'm not talking about just a simple prayer. I'm talking about something specific that God needs to hear and the church needs to hear. And I want you to write down this for me. For me, I want you to do. I want you to write this down. That God would take a desire away from me. My pastor said, "For pray for this need for him. That God would take a desire away from him." Of course, you should know that's a fleshly desire, not a spiritual desire. I want you to write it down. And I want you to pray. When you pray for that need for me, does anybody need a pen? We've got pens. Do you need a pen? Please pray for me. That God would take, in other words, take the rubbish out of my life. the rubbish that I don't need. But I'm asking you to pray for a specific desire to be taken away from me. So when you said to be specific, that is specific. Is that how you say that word? Specific. That is the problem with our church today. It's because when we share burdens, but we don't really share the burdens that needs to be shared. This right here, this prayer that you're going to pray for me and ask God to take this desire away from me, this fleshly desire, is something that keeps me from being as close to God as I can be. And I want you to take that and I want you to pray for it, because we're going to pray together. There's two things that I've seen here at this church and have realized that has happened over the last month. I have preached more about burdens and have preached more about prayer than I ever have in my life. Because you know why? Because that is what sustains a church. If you've got something going on in your life and you do not tell me, if you don't tell me, I can't pray for it. I don't care if it's a lost loved one, if it's an addiction that you've got. I don't care what it is. I want to pray and ask God to help you with it. And so therefore, I'm asking you to pray for me and ask God to help me with it. Because if we don't share our one another's burdens, we don't get the rubbish out of this church and out of our lives, we'll never come together as a church and be united. We'll never come together as Christians and be united with God, because of the rubbish that's in our lives. I know some of you, I felt from day one when people from this church started saying that we're praying for you, I knew it and I felt it and I knew it was true. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and our adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Now I draw attention to this right here because I want you to see something. Look in that. It said the adversaries right there. We know who our adversary is, but sometimes we give him just a little more credit than he deserves. He said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them. The adversary right here is going to walk in and he's going to slay them. And I wanted you to know this. No matter how close the devil gets, he cannot take your life. He may only be allowed, as in Job's life, to inflict you. But as Brother Bill said this morning, and I'd already thought about, the Bible says, yes, we may go through things in our life, but God's not going to put any more on us than we can bear. He's not. And I want you to know, no matter what, the devil can't take it away from you. The devil can't kill you. Right here, Nehemiah said, the adversaries, those, I believe in verse 7, verse 8 there, verse 9 maybe, that they were talking about, we're going to come in and be compromised to conflict that work from stopping and building the wall. That's not the adversaries we're talking about today. The adversary is the devil. And the devil cannot take your life. He might hinder God's work, but just for a little while. And that's why we're going to have to come together, get the rubbish out of the way, amen. Get the rubbish to be gone, and we're going to start building this prayer wall that this church needs, amen. There have been too many people walk out of this church out of the will of God. Amen. I don't know names, but I know it's happened, because it's not only happened to this church, it's happened to all other churches. Amen. There's too many people walked out of the will of God. And guess what? We're going to build this church and be in the will of God. Not build the church, but build the prayer wall. It's a shame that churches, that people in leadership positions are going to stand and do the ungodly things that they do, and our children are being inflicted by it. Our children see it. Our young adults see it. And guess what happens? They get out of